Hey, what's up? Jerry Fetta here, owner, founder, CEO of Wealth Dynamics. I want to share with you why I don't own a house right now. I don't own residential real estate at all in today's money clip. Stay tuned. Hey, Jerry Fetta here again, owner, founder, CEO of Wealth Dynamics. So, as I mentioned, I want to do a money clip today on why I don't own a house, right? I could, right? I'm turning 32 next month. Okay, it's the time of life where you're supposed to settle down, have a house, all this kind of stuff. I am married. I do have a son. All of these things that people are going through, I experience them too. But a lot of times, I watch an individual and they're buying a house either at this point in their life or earlier. Okay, and I want to share with you why I'm not going to. Now, there is a statistic, and I want to just find it here really quick. There is a statistic on the net worth of a homeowner versus a renter, right? Let me see what that is. Net worth of homeowner versus renter. Okay, so the average median net worth of a homeowner is $396,000, right? That's as of 2022, versus $10,400 for a renter, right? Now, you might look at this and you're like, see, Jerry, that's why you should own a house. Your net worth goes up. Hang on here. Let's talk about what a net worth is. Okay. So, net worth, I'm going to put this on the whiteboard. Okay. So, net worth is going to basically be your assets minus your liabilities. Right. And so, if I'm looking at assets minus liabilities, okay, I have to define what is an asset. So, we have net worth, asset minus liability equals net worth. Okay. Now, why is your net worth important? So, other than it being like your own personal measure of owning more things than you owe, right? It doesn't actually matter that much. Now, there is one area where it does matter, and that's if you're trying to qualify as an accredited investor. So an accredited investor, let's break down what that term means. An accredited investor means an individual or family that has a net worth of $1 million or more. Okay, now, very important specification to make here. Not including your primary residence. The legal definition of net worth excludes the value of your primary residence. Okay, so think about this. If the net worth doesn't mean anything other than I'm trying to qualify to invest in these, accredited investments, an accredited investment means it's an investment that's open only for high net worth individuals, right? Typically, they're private, they're not available on open markets. You can't go into your 401k at work and invest with accredited investments. You can't go to your financial advisor and invest with accredited investments. Typically, you've got to know the source of the deal and qualify as an accredited investor to be let in. Okay, so you're trying to get your net worth up pretty much for that reason alone, right? There's nothing else in your life that's going to look at your net worth and say, good, you qualify. Mortgages, they're going to look at your credit and your income. They're going to look at assets, but they're not really looking at, are you a millionaire? Right? Same thing with buying a car. They don't really look at your net worth. They're looking at your credit and your income. Okay. So you don't really need your net worth in day-to-day life other than for this one thing, qualifying for accredited investments. Right? And if I'm trying to qualify for accredited investments, I can't include the value of my house anyways. Okay. So here's one argument on it. That's one point. That's one reason. The statistic of it really doesn't matter. Like, if you're, and here's the thing, guys, if you're so bad at saving your money, paying yourself first, that the only way you can do it is by paying a mortgage payment and hoping that the home appreciates. Because even on your mortgage payment, you're not paying that much towards your principal. It's mostly interest. It's not like it's a forced savings plan, it's a forced interest plan that you're paying an expense to the bank. Very little of that is going back to your actual home or back in your pocket, right? The home may or may not appreciate. Traditionally, they do. So there's some upside there. But here's the problem. That's not liquid. Liquid means accessible. You can't go use your home equity on your day-to-day life very easily unless you're taking out like a line of credit, and in that case, it's debt, and you better be trained and have the financial intelligence and aptitude to use that debt to make money. Most people can't and shouldn't. If you're not having an easy time paying yourself first, you should not be taking a line of credit against your house. That's a terrible idea, right? So it's not liquid. It's not something that's accessible. It's expensive. The equity you have is expensive. To have equity in a home, it costs you insurance, it costs you taxes, it costs you maintenance, repairs, and improvements, right? It costs you closing costs, it costs you interest on your mortgage, it costs you so many things that I believe it outweighs the benefit you're going to have on owning it. Now, when you sell a house, can you cash out on the equity? Absolutely. Okay. But again, I bet you if I am paying myself first and I'm following the precepts that I talk about in my book, Blueprints Financial Freedom, right? If I'm following these things, I would bet that I'm going to have a higher net worth than somebody who just pays into their house and hopes it's a higher value when they sell, right? That's not a great proposition to be like, let me put everything into this hunk of wood and hope that in 10 years or 7 years when I sell it, I get some money out of it. What about between now and then? What are you doing to build wealth between now and then? Okay, so I rent, and here's what I would look at instead. Okay, so I'm very big on math. Most of finance is just math, and if people understand math, they can understand finances, right? So I want to just take a saving and investing calculator, right? So let's just do a basic saving calculator. We'll go to calculator.net for this one, and I'm going to share my screen so you can see my logic here. Okay, so here's what I'm doing. I'm going to share my screen. And I want to pull up just a regular calculator as well. Right, so let's say I'm buying a house, right? And the average price of a house in America, let's say, is around $350,000. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'm not a home expert. Okay, now let's say that my down payment for this is going to be around 4%. Okay. That's about 14 grand, right? $14,000 that I'm going to put down. So we know if it's lower, it's on the 10 side. If it's higher, it's on the 20 side, right? 14, 15K, somewhere right in the middle. Okay, so I want to look at this. If I put in $14,000, right? And let's not even talk about annual contributions right now. And I put that into my sacred account that's making 3 to 5% per year, right? And I save that for 10 years. Let's see what happens. In 10 years, I'll have $18,000 liquid. Okay, $18,000 liquid. Now, 60% of Americans have less than $1,000 saved. Okay, I want you to think about that. Now, if I'm putting this $18,000 in my sacred account, the thing with the sacred account is I can double dip. I can borrow against that money while it's still growing, still get the growth credited to it, and use it to invest in other things. Okay. So let's say, in the interim, I put this into a real estate annuity, right? So I'm making, like in 10 years, for example, in 10 years, my sacred account will be about 18,814. Now, if at the same time I put it into this real estate annuity, and this makes me, let's say, another 5 or 6% per year. Let's call it 5 just to be conservative, right? 5% per year, no monthly contributions. Boom. It's about the same, 18,814, right? So I have another 18,000 available. I'm double dipping. So that's $36,000, $37,000 between my annuity value and my sacred account cash value that still grows. Right, that's $36,000, both of them growing, both of them paying me. Right, I want you to think about that. Your home equity is not paying you anything. I can have the income from these. I can borrow against. Right now, the reality is if I'm doing a sacred account, I'm able to actually do monthly contributions too. So here's my thing. I think the total cost of housing on renting is actually cheaper than home ownership. Now, some of this does depend on your market. Where do you live? What city are you in? Right. But for example, right now, I live in a place and I pay, I don't live in the nicest place in the world, but it's also not the ghetto. It's comfortable. You would feel comfortable living in the place I live in. I'm not trying to go extravagant on a house. I've had the ocean front view before, right? Right now, for me, I'm focusing on, okay, let me keep my living costs in a comfortable zone, locked down, and I want to save and invest everything I'm making in excess of that, right? So I actually live in a really nice place. It's just not the high-rise condo on the water. Okay, so for my rent, I currently pay about $2,200 a month. Okay, so I want to just whiteboard this out with you. Right, so I'm currently paying about $2,200 a month total. $2,200 a month, right? And this is a luxury apartment. It's a nice place. Okay, it's in an area that is like cost effective, and you need to look at this as well. Separate conversation. What state, what city do you live in? Is it helping you build wealth? Right? I don't live in LA, I don't live in Miami, I don't live in New York, I don't live in Chicago. Why? Because I don't want to spend everything I have on housing and groceries. I want to be able to save and invest. So I've lived somewhere, I've moved somewhere, and I'm living somewhere that's more economic on a housing standpoint, on a food standpoint, on all these things so that I can have more of my money, right? $2,200 a month on my rent, my housing, all in. That covers my living costs, that covers my insurance, that covers my utilities, that covers maintenance and improvements. $2,200 a month, right? Now, if you're looking at a mortgage, and I want to use a calculator again for this one. Okay, so let's close our whiteboard. Let's check out a mortgage calculator. And let's use that $350,000 value. I think that's a pretty fair value on a house. Okay, so my loan amount, we said it's 350. Let's say I'm putting down 15,000, right? So that's going to bring me down to 335 that I'm financing. If I were to do 335, right? I don't know what interest rates right now, 7.84 is what it's suggesting. So if I'm financing a $335,000 mortgage on a 30-year loan at a 7.84% interest rate, that is going to be a monthly payment of $2,422 a month. Right? So check this out. This is my alternative. Right? I could be owning a home. Right? But if I look at this again, my rent, total housing costs, right? 2200 per month. Right? For me to own. Now you're like, "Oh, the mortgage payment's not that much more." Okay, but guys, this is only the mortgage payment, $2400 a month. Right? That's my suggested mortgage payment. Now, I don't believe this even includes principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Right. So I would have to still look at those kind of things. So if I look at a different calculator, I want to see if I can get a little more detailed with this with you guys. Home value, 350. Down payment, I'm putting down 14,000. Good. 30-year loan, property taxes, PMI, homeowners insurance. Let me calculate all this with all my costs all in and see what that payment comes out to. Okay, so my total payment, everything included, right? It looks like it's going to be around $2,976 a month, right? So it's not 2,400, it's actually 2,976. That's closer to 3,000 a month, isn't it? Right? So 3,000 a month. Guys, that's $800 a month different. $800 a month. Now you're looking at this and you're like, "Well, it depreciates and this and that." Okay, good. But that's not including the roof is leaking, the water heater broke, right? Like repairs and maintenance. Okay, that's not including improvements. The mistake that I see most homeowners make is they move in and immediately they put their attention, their exchange, their money on the house. Let's fix it up. Let's remodel the kitchen. Let's redo the bathroom. Let's upgrade the cabinets. You don't get paid for any of that stuff. You don't. Nobody's paying you to fix your kitchen. And you might be like, "Oh, well, it's going to increase the value of the home." Cool. That means nothing unless you sell it. It means nothing unless you sell it. So if you're not selling that house, you're not increasing the value of it. It doesn't add any value to your life. It increases perceived value to other people who might be buying. But if you're not on the market, selling the house or putting a line of credit on the house to borrow against it, it's not going to help you one bit in your day-to-day life. It doesn't even improve your net worth. Okay, so if you include things like closing costs, if you include things like improvements, maintenance, utilities, right? If you include things like mowing the lawn, if you include things like home security, you're probably looking closer to $3,300, $3,500 a month all in over the life of this house, right? So I'm winning. I'm winning. If you, so let's just say you do $200 a month on average for those extra things, total costs of living in the house, $3,200 a month, and I'm spending $2,200 a month. I'm saving $1,000 a month that you're not, right? And I want to share with you what that looks like again. So let's go back to our saving and investing calculator and check this out again. And let's look at this from a standpoint of I'm doing $1,000 a month into my savings as well. And I'm earning that 4% just on my sacred account. Right? Let's talk about what that does for me. So let me share my screen just so you can see what I mean on this, right? So I put in the 14,000 in my sacred account because I didn't use it to do a down payment on my house. Okay, I'm earning 4% per year on average, putting in $1,000 a month. That's also earning 4% per year on average. And I do that for 10 years, right? In 10 years, I will have $167,419 liquid, not in a house. Right, not locked up where I've got to sell it or put a loan against it and do all this stuff. No, it's just there. It's just there and it's growing tax-free and it's protected and it's safe. Now, again, I can borrow against my sacred account and the money still grows while I use it. So if I borrow against it and on this kind of money, I'm putting $1,000 a month away, I can do more than just annuities and little things. I could do real estate investing. Okay, my real estate investments pay me around 12% per year. So let's say I'm going to do that. Right. And so I'm now doing 167 on my sacred account value. And at the same time, I'm doing real estate with that money because it grows simultaneously. And I do that as well. Okay. That's $265,000 that I make on the real estate in the next 10 years. And if we look at that, we said it was 167 plus 265. 167 plus 265 comes out to $432,000. Total asset value growing for me. Pays me every month or every year, whatever my deals are, right? Guys, that beats the homeowner. What did we say the number was? The number was like 350 or something like that on a homeowner. And I've got 432 as a renter, right? So my focus, and I share this video with you today because my focus is not on doing what everyone does. Right, especially with finances, collective group thinking, what everyone else is doing is the enemy of success. If you see everyone else doing it, you shouldn't be. Right, if you were to live your life financially just by doing the opposite, just do the opposite of what you see everyone else do, you would actually have more success. You would see more success that way. And so I want to share this with you today, not to tell you never buy a house, not to tell you if you have one, you made a mistake, not to tell you to sell it if you do, right? But to show you a way of thinking. And the way of thinking is not put money in things that I don't have access to until later, that financial institutions make money on in the meantime. What did I just share with you that has in common with the 401k? You put money into a house, you put money into a 401k. You can't touch the money in the house, you can't touch the money in the 401k. The bank makes interest on the house while you pay into it, while you can't touch it. Wall Street makes money on your 401k while you pay into it, while you can't touch it. Both of them, you have to get rid of the thing in order to benefit for it. You've got to sell the house to get the so-called equity. You've got to sell the shares in your 401k and get rid of them in order to get the cash to live off of. Right? That's common on both of those. And I can show you that with every financial instrument that I deem a bad deal, that those elements are typically going to be present. You want things that you pay into, you control, and you benefit from today. That puts money in your pocket today. That you don't need to sell and get rid of in order to get the value out of it. Right on the sacred account, I don't need to sell it to get money out of it. It pays dividends and interest. I can take loans against it anytime I want to. I can have that now. I don't need to sell it, Right, on the real estate, that pays me every single month. I don't need to sell that. I just get income because they're paying, it's a mortgage payment. They're paying a mortgage to me. And here's the irony, guys. I rent, but I own homes that other people live in. And they pay me their mortgage payment. You see what I'm saying here? It's a good deal for me as an investor. It's not a good deal for me as a consumer. I don't own the product I offer in this scenario. I own homes that other people make mortgage payments to me on because I want to be the bank in the transaction. I don't own a home where I own the home and pay the mortgage to someone else. Okay, so that is this money clip for this week. Thank you guys for watching. Again, the money clips, these are my opinions, my viewpoints, the things that I am doing. So you can see I'm someone that's walking the walk. I'm in the trenches with you. I'm doing this thing with you. I'm looking at the numbers, I'm looking at the math, and I'm making decisions based on, almost a decade and a half of research, study, and application on what the top 1% of wealth are actually doing with their finances, right? And that's what I'm talking about here today. So thank you guys for watching. I'll see you next time.